Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Legacy by Nathan Heistad, narrated by James Patrick Cronin. Prologue. The wind blew lightly over High Elder Wyland's sweating brow. He dabbed at the skin with a crimson cloth and slid it into his robe's breast pocket. Seeing his hard work paying off nearly capsized his beating heart, but he controlled his emotions. Allowing feelings to overtake one's exterior wasn't becoming. Stoicism was a mask they proudly wore. The Ugna were a strong race, as powerful as any had ever been. They'd spent thousands of years cultivating their strengths, weeding out the weak, growing their bloodlines with intricate planning. High Elder Wyland wondered if his successors would respect his accomplishments. He doubted it. Not yet. They'd appreciate his efforts, but many would mock him for fleeing Dryune F-49. It didn't matter. No one saw the big picture as he did. The rest were observing the situation from the ground level, whereas Wyland was floating 40,000 feet above the surface, watching the pieces of the game board, anticipating the Concorde's ineffectual moves. They couldn't defeat him. No one would stop the Ugna from obliterating the Concorde fleet. Nolix would be his. Laria, Aruto, Eiron, all the Founder's planets would be controlled by the Ugna. Wyland heard their footsteps softly kicking up dust behind him, and he turned to face the incoming elders. Fail wasn't among them. He wished he'd killed her and her protégé when he'd had the chance, but there was no sense in badgering himself about it. She'd been wise, cunning, and deceitful. He'd intended to gift Fail control of Nolix, a prize unlike any other, but she'd gone to the other side. Wyland would never understand her motivations for betraying him. Not only that, but she'd brainwashed a subset of their population to trust her. The four elders wore grim expressions, and a flicker of indignation crossed Elder Unili's face.
"Do not show me how much you fear this war," Wyland thought. "You will find I have no patience for such cowardice."
He pressed his words deep into her mind. She staggered away, hands flying to her face momentarily, before regaining her composure.
"Yes, sir," Unili said.
The sky was darkening as dusk approached, and Wyland glanced to the hundreds of vessels high above the surface, forming neat rows. Their fleet would be unstoppable. The other elders stood impatiently, waiting for orders. He let them sweat for another minute before he began.
"Tebas has long been our secret base, a world to fall back on, to train our assassins, to hone our skills as leaders."
Elder Young had never left this planet, and he looked proud, nodding enthusiastically at the words.
"We are about to embark on the largest scale war ever to hit the Concorde. Are you ready for what's to come?" Wyland asked.
"Yes, sir,"
they said in unison, only Unili faltering a split second behind. He'd need to find a replacement for her. Someone harder.
"We leave in a week."
This seemed to perturb them, and Unili spoke on their behalf.
"But the reinforcements haven't arrived yet."
That bothered Wyland as well. He'd expended a lot of resources sending Prophet to Earth to recruit the offshoots of the Ugna. They were lesser Ugna, not fit to be rewarded with a Concorde prize, as he'd promised them, but he'd give them Dryune F-49. It was never intended to be a permanent home for his people. Where were these invaders? Prophet wouldn't have failed, not unless Lark Keen had opened his big mouth and gotten them killed.
"Do we have the Keens in custody?" Wyland asked, seemingly out of the blue.
Elder Bezra answered. She clasped her hands together, slender fingers intertwining.
"No, sir. We were unable to secure Seda and Lucy as requested. We are still trying, but their location has proven more difficult to obtain than we originally assumed. Once we have them, we'll bring them aboard your ship, Conquest."
As fitting a name as ever. The starship was fitted with a jump drive, the only one in his fleet. They had neither the time nor the resources to make alterations to any of the other fleet vessels, and that disappointed Wyland. But the Concorde had been quite evasive when it came to the next door's hiding location. Not having Keen's family was a failure, but Wyland hadn't brought the Ugna this far by being unprepared. He doubted he'd need them anyway.
You seem disturbed at our timeline. Do you think this Concord could withstand our assault?
He asked the elders. They glanced at one another, obviously nervous about something.
Spit it out, he ordered.
Things aren't occurring as planned, Elder Unili stepped forward. Prophet has failed. Your trick of using Concord ships against themselves to create civil unrest didn't work, and Elder Fail has managed to recruit 10% of our population to her cause. What do you think?
The woman's hands went to her throat defensively, and Wyland stepped closer, choking her.
Listen to me, elders. I won't tolerate disobedience, nor lack of faith. We are the Ugna. We will not be beaten by some motley group of Concord partners. They are not as smart, shrewd, or brave as we are, and nothing will prevent us from winning this war. Nothing!
Wyland hated how angry the woman's words had made him, and he stopped applying invisible pressure to the elder's windpipe. She crumpled to the ground, holding her neck, but the others did nothing to assist her.
Good, elders. As I was saying, we leave in a week. Any concerns?
When no one answered, he continued.
There's one more thing. When we depart, Tebas will be obliterated.
An audible gasp emerged from their collective mouths, but none spoke in retribution.
You're probably wondering why we would destroy our safe haven, so I'll explain.
Wyland dabbed his forehead again, glad the star was setting behind Tebas's rolling dusty hills.
We've used this planet as a fallback for centuries. No matter where we went or how we expanded, this world was here as a respite, a place to train and, on occasion, to lick our wounds. But now we're proceeding into battle with the Concord for the last time. There will be no returning to Tebas with our tails between our legs, because the outcome will be victory. We are destroying this place not as punishment, but as a beacon of hope and faith. Do you understand?
Wyland allowed himself a grin as they each nodded. He felt their emotions unraveling, but they fought hard to contain them. A second later, he sensed nothing but their shells.
All right. Someone tell me good news. Do we have our moles in place? He asked.
Elder Bezra smiled in return, a wicked expression, her blood-red eyes piercing his very soul.
Yes, Your Highness.
Wyland stared at the fleet over Tebas and knew they had enough power to destroy the Concord and its inhabitants. The Concord wasn't prepared for something of this magnitude. Prime Zoon didn't have the experience, and Wyland was glad he'd set up the Statu's return. It had permitted him to have Fawn removed as Prime, and even Harris might have posed a threat. Baldwin was the only worrisome one. There was something intangible about the man. Wyland wished he could have found Thomas as a young boy, stolen him from the arms of Constantine Baldwin to mentor him as an Ugna. That would have been the ultimate slap in the face, but it wasn't to be. He almost wished Baldwin had children of his own, then he could make that dream come true. Wyland heard the elders shuffling off, his ignoring them an indicator of their dismissal. He closed his eyes, seeking the source of disturbance he'd felt a few weeks ago. There was someone out there, one of his own, with enough energy to disrupt Wyland's plan. He'd been so sure he'd vetted each and every Ugna over the years to find one like this, but somehow the acolyte had slipped through his fingers. When his search came up empty, the sunlight was gone, replaced by a tranquil moon. Wyland decided to return to his quarters to meditate. The war was here. He was tired of waiting.
1. Tom, you don't have to stay for this, Rennie told him.
Are you kidding me? We're having a baby and you don't want me around for the first appointment?
He stood at the edge of the exam room's bed and Rennie rolled her eyes in response.
Do you have any idea how routine these appointments are? The doctor comes in, does a scan, and we're gone in 2 minutes. I assume you have more pressing matters to attend to than being by my side," she said in a huff.
Her hair was loose, a rarity, and Tom reached for an errant lock of red, gently sliding it behind her ear. "I'm not here because of some archaic sense of duty, Rennie. I'm here because..."
"What? You love me?"
She laughed, and even though her comment was meant as a joke, he wondered if there wasn't some real curiosity behind it. "I'm here because this child is ours, and I'm not going to let it grow up without a father," he said. He'd been lucky to have loving parents, if only for a few years before they'd been killed. Rennie seemed to relax at that and took his hand. Her palm was chilled. She was nervous about being here. Her nonchalant comments were just her way of trying to save face in front of him, he knew.
"Fine, you can stay, but when we're fighting..."
Tom stiffened. "Wait, you can't seriously be thinking of joining the battle, can you?" Her smile vanished in a flash, and she sat up. She looked far less commanding in a gown with her hair down, but that didn't last once she opened her mouth.
"Let's get one thing straight. I don't give a Garbalian slug's ass if you're an admiral or not. I'm the captain of a starship, and we have a damned war coming to us."
She was shouting, her eyes angrily moving in her sockets. Tom stepped away, hands held up to his chest. "Okay, I didn't mean that."
"Yes, you did. If you want to be part of this, you have to accept that I'm not going into hiding while the rest of the Concorde is fighting the Ugna. I'll be front and center, commanding my crew to victory. Understood?"
Her voice had lowered slightly, and she leaned back as the door opened. Dr. Nee entered, his eyebrows raised in question. "Hello, Captain Bouchard. Admiral Baldwin."
"Wait, where's Dr. Reuther?"
Rennie asked. Dr. Nee motioned for Tom to answer. "I asked Nee to take over primary care of your pregnancy," Tom said. Rennie slapped the bed's surface and tried to stand.
"This isn't happening. First you try to tell me to stay home, and then you change my..."
"Rennie, I'd suggest you reconsider. This is an important time in the development..." Nee started, and Tom cringed as Rennie turned her attention to the doctor. Rennie poked him in the chest as she stepped toward him.
"You may be an exceptional doctor, but this isn't an ankle sprain. I need you on shoe for the duration of the war if we're really going to do this."
Nee glanced at Tom, and the admiral smiled at him. They'd already discussed the possibility, and Tom had personally made the arrangements with Captain Trina Starling to borrow her doctor. His replacement had already boarded Constantine the night before.
"Very well. Consider it done," Nee said, pointing to the bed. "Do you mind having a seat?"
Rennie composed herself and returned to her original spot, catching Tom's eye. She gave him a grin, like she'd won a battle here, and Tom would have laughed under other circumstances. Now they had too much to lose. Before, he would have done anything for the Concorde, but with the baby coming, he had another life to protect, one more precious than his own or anyone he knew. He remained quiet while Nee clicked through the scans, and when he assured them the baby was healthy and right on track, Rennie grabbed his hand again. Tom leaned in, kissing her forehead. He still didn't know what they had, but he intended on everyone living long enough to find out. An hour later, Rennie and Tom entered his suite, and she sighed heavily as she sank to the couch.
"Can you believe our luck?"
Tom stared out the window, the bright lights of Rydell shining in the night. The city was a constant hub of activity, and he struggled to have it feel like home. "If we don't end this threat, none of it matters." He took the seat beside her, and she leaned her head into his shoulder.
"We need to be on the same page. This could be it. Wylan isn't going to make this move without being confident in his success rate," she reminded him.
"The Ugna are cocky, I'll give you that, but they don't have our heart, and they definitely don't have captains like you or Trina Starling fighting on their side." The lights blinked in the distance, a sign of one of the huge transport vessels arriving at the outer edge of the city, bringing with it thousands of refugees from the planets recently assaulted by Wyland's orders.
"Have you decided what you're going to do?" Rennie asked.
"In what regard?" Tom knew what she meant, but hadn't made a decision quite yet.
"Tom, don't play games with me. Are you using the ship or not?"
Rennie's gaze drifted to her stomach, and he fought the urge to coddle her. Rennie was a lot of things, but fragile wasn't one of them.
The ship she referred to was the replica flagship Elder Fael and Hanley had cleared for them near Aruto, and Tom had suggested to the Prime and Benator that he be the one to captain it. Alterations are being made as we speak, but I haven't decided...
Do it.
Yeah?
Why not? You should be the fleet captain, Tom. Everyone trusts you, and who better to lead us into victory than the great Thomas Baldwin?
Rennie asked, a hint of mockery in her tone. The truth was, Tom couldn't imagine remaining in an office on Rydell while their people fought relentlessly against the Ugna. It could be a bloodbath, but Tom was confident they'd find a way to win before it came to that.
"Would you obey my orders?" he asked.
Rennie frowned, but her mouth tilted into a grin.
"I suppose I'd have to."
"And at home, will you?"
"I don't think so, Tom." "And what do you mean, at home? You realize I don't live here, don't you?" she asked.
"You could. You told me you packed up your old place on Eron and sold it when you became captain of Shu, right?"
"Sure."
"Then how about you bring over some personal effects so you can rest your head on your own pillow?" Tom hoped she'd take the bait, but she stayed silent long enough for him to assume the worst.
"Why not?"
She rose, moving for the kitchen.
"We're going to have to do something about the food, though. Do you ever cook for yourself?"
As Rennie searched through his cabinets, Tom's thoughts drifted to the starship being modified just outside Nolix. They were currently adding crew quarters for a functional vessel, with a neck drive to give them a cutting edge in the coming war. After a few minutes, Rennie relented and walked toward the wall console, ordering in food.
"Have you heard from Fael?"
she asked as she returned to the living room.
"No, and I'm starting to worry about her," Tom replied. The last time Fael had sent a message, she'd suggested it would be the final one for a while. She suspected a mole in her presence. She had 50,000 loyal Ugna with her on Dryune F-49, and that meant a widespread search.
"Ven should be arriving soon," Rennie reminded him.
"Good. Let him figure this out."
"Trina will miss him on her crew," Rennie said.
"And you? Are you going to miss Connor?" Tom asked.
Rennie's face didn't flash any emotions as she answered.
"It was his choice to jump ship. I don't blame him for wanting to work with Captain Starling. She's a very capable..."
"You know this has nothing to do with you, right?"
Tom hated seeing her second-guess herself in any way.
"Of course I know that. Connor's in love with her."
Tom's brows hopped up.
"He is?"
"Men, you're all too stupid to see what's right in front of you. He saw an opening with Ven's absence and took it. I don't blame him one bit. To be truthful, I can only hope Trina finds some measure of happiness after what happened to her,"
Rennie said softly. Tom didn't think Trina would ever let her guard down. Not after Felix died, and the fact that she used an artificial body didn't help her cause.
"I do, too. She's a rarity."
"The best," Rennie said, setting her hands on Tom's shoulders as he stood.
She softly kissed him on the lips as the food delivery arrived.
"What was that for?"
"Can't a gal make points with her fleet captain?"
"There will be no special treatment," he told her with a smirk.
"Then you're not getting any of my Kronsky."
The entire region was silent. Dryune F-49 had been teeming with life and orbiting spacecraft during each previous visit, but all that remained was a single non-operational space station. High Elder Wylan had cleaned them out. Ven guided his shuttle toward the Ugna colony world, anxious to see Elder Fael's progress. He could sense the rising doubt and worry from the surface, as if his people had ceased withholding their emotions. This was a trying time for the Concorde, and specifically for the remaining Ugna on Dryune. They'd chosen sides, and Wylan would consider them ultimate betrayers of their own kind. In Ven's eyes, it was Wylan who deceived the Ugna. What was best for his people? For centuries, they'd been a mystery, an unknown force in hiding. The Concorde had seen them as an oddity, strange villagers on Laria, living in huts and shifting objects with their minds, but no real threat. The Ugna had taken the Founder's children, threatening to destroy them and their families,
but Ven now understood that that was all part of the elaborate planning. Fail had been part of that, and she'd apologized to him in her own right. Fail would never admit wrongdoing completely. She'd done what was necessary to be in the know, so that when the time came, they could use her intel to assist in the war. Ven would have struggled playing that role. He couldn't imagine pretending to side with the enemy, especially when their true goal had been revealed. To rule the Concorde. As he entered Dryune F-49's atmosphere, Ven wondered why this hadn't been sufficient for their needs. An old code saying sprang to mind, and he thought it was more than fitting on this occasion. Compassion and love are each second to greed, desire, and power. Seek a balance, but in the end, the latter eventually rule. Ven would be the balance on the other side of the spectrum. Fail had something to ask him, and he couldn't shake his concern. The worst-case scenario was being sent to Wylan. If she asked him to go undercover, he would deny her request. The world felt empty, an unusual stillness as he drifted high above the first city. He continued further, descending slowly as he arrived at their hideout. He'd received the location through a series of coded messages and had deciphered them with a key sent to Admiral Baldwin's personal office. He searched out, feeling the Ugna below. This was it. The daylight waned as he settled the shuttle toward the surface. It was different than the valley city he'd grown used to. There were no mountains here, nor flowing rivers. The land was rock hard, but the buildings were constructed in a familiar layout. The different regions all followed the same guidelines. Ven exited the ship, the air cool and refreshing after being stuck inside the shuttle for the last 5 days. He stretched his legs and his back, rolling his head from side to side, hearing it click as he did so.
Venetix, welcome!
Ven turned to the source of the voice and saw a large man armed with a deadly blaster.
"Hello. I am afraid you have me at a disadvantage," he said, eyeing the man's weapon. This Ugna was bald, as most were, his eyes a pale pink. His skin looked even whiter in the fresh moonlight.
"I am Gar Elix. High Elder Fail has requested that I escort you to her. Come. We do not wish to delay."
High Elder Fail. That was new. Ven didn't love the power the title gave her, even at this time. It was an affront to Wylan, one he wouldn't take kindly to.
Where are we going?
Ven asked as they began walking over the dark stone toward the city.
Where no one can see us, Gar informed him.
They passed each structure, the walk taking no more than 5 minutes, and Gar pointed to the ground.
This way,
he said. Alarm bells rang in Ven's head, but he sensed Gar meant him no harm. At least that was what the Ugna was portraying internally with his emotions.
Do not fear anything, Ven Itix. You are welcome with open arms. High Elder Fail awaits your arrival.
Gar opened the hidden trapdoor, made from the same rock they were standing on. It hinged widely, revealing a set of steps that went on for 20 or so paces. Ven entered hesitantly, where glowing lights were embedded into the floor, guiding the path. Gar sealed them in and took the lead, passing Ven in the narrow underground corridor. The path continued for another few minutes and eventually widened into a circular foyer. It was reminiscent of the dwellings below the surface on the Statu worlds, and that in itself gave Ven a stomach ache. He noted 6 doorways, and Gar took him to the middle left, knocking before entering.
Ven, come. We have much to discuss, Elder Fail said.
She sat in a room with screens on the wall, a slow drip of water exuding from the ceiling.
Elder Fail, Ven began. High Elder Fail,
Gar corrected. Ven saw a flicker of apprehension cross Fail's face at the title.
Gar, would you excuse us for a few minutes?
Gar lingered near the exit, his gun safe in its holster, yet visible and threatening to Ven for some reason.
Very well. Call if you need anything.
The door shut, leaving Ven alone with Fail. Fail quickly crossed the room, embracing Ven. He stood rigid, his arms limp. Affection wasn't the Ugna way. He didn't know how to react, so he kept still.
My boy, you've returned. Thank you for answering my call,
she told him.
I would never forsake you, he assured her.
You have effectively resigned your position among the Concord fleet, have you not?
She asked.
Temporarily, he said, feeling that it was necessary to remind her.
Of course, temporarily.
What is the situation? Where are the others? Ven asked. If there were tens of thousands of Separatists remaining, he'd only seen two of them so far on Dryune.
They prepare for our invasion, she told him.
Invasion? Of what? Fael pointed to the right monitor, then Ven strode across the room to garner a better view. Obelina 6? I'm not familiar with it.
That's Wyland's manufacturing plant. It's where he's created the replica vessels we faced near Aruto. We have it on good authority that the Ugna...
Fael paused, and Ven felt the anger behind their race's name.
Have gone on to Tebas as suspected. Wylan will regroup and wait for his reinforcements.
Reinforcements that are not coming thanks to our interception of the protectors at Seoul, correct?
Fael nodded.
That's what we think. He will not wait long, so we have to strike.
When? Ven asked.
3 days, Fael said.
3 days? Obelina had to be weeks away. Where is our fleet?
Nearing the target. The insurgence is imminent.
Ven understood what she was suggesting. You sent the fleet ahead and waited for me here. Why? I am but one Ugna.
High Elder Fael, was acting suspicious, and Ven didn't like the look in her eyes.
Have a seat, Ven.
Ven glanced around, seeing a few chairs near the desk centering the space. He took one, facing toward Fael's seat.
What is it? Have you not explained?
She lifted a finger, and he stopped. He'd forever be the student, her the teacher. He waited while she sat in silence, the sound of the dripping water carried across the room.
Ven, I haven't been straight with you about many things. You were a special child. You did not know this, but most of our people are not raised as you were. We have villages where the training is less arduous. You were surrounded by the best and brightest students we secured within the Concord, and they paled in comparison to you. Within you is the greatest potential I have ever witnessed. This is the reason I have demanded you remain guarded around Wylan, because he would eventually breach the barrier and discover you for what you truly are,
Fael said.
Ven couldn't move. He sensed something coming, a permanence he wasn't prepared for.
I saw something in you, Ven, but it wasn't clear until you were brought to me by Baldwin in a casket that I finally understood it. You were deceived.
She stared into his eyes, her expression softening.
Most Ugna do not return from death. It is a rare trait, and one found only in a handful of us. Many go on to become elders.
Did you die once? Ven asked, his voice surprisingly not betraying him.
I did.
Fael didn't elaborate on the details.
But I never saw the vastness afterwards. I tried, but my internal limitations held me behind the veil. There is only one other among us that claims to see the stars, the flowing vastness that provides us life and energizes the universe.
High Elder Wylan, Ven whispered, finally understanding. You expect me to confront him? To take his position?
Fael didn't acknowledge his question right away, but her stillness answered regardless.
We hope you won't need to face him. High Elder Wylan is powerful, Ven. I do believe you hold more strength inside than even he does, but you aren't trained to harness it.
Ven wished he was back on Constantine, working alongside his friends. He already missed Brax, Reeves, Starling, and the others, but his path was in another direction. Lights spun before his eyes, whirling in intricate patterns, the sight beautiful enough to bring tears to his eyes. The vastness. His voice was strong, his posture firm.
Then train me, High Elder Fail.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?